When parts of the book of Jonah came up in the lectionary this year, it occurred to me that it doesn't work so well just to hear a little snippet of the story. You really need to hear the whole thing in order to understand what's happening. So kudos to Jane Ann for adapting and directing a Reader's Theater version of the book of Jonah for us this morning. It's a 4-chapter story, and you probably know a lot of it, but I would imagine that there are bits you've forgotten as well. It's important to realize a few things about the peoples who are involved in this story. Jonah, of course, is a righteous Jew. He's initially cast as the good guy in the story, but watch for ways that that may be shifting as the story goes on and on. It's also important to realize that the Hebrew people were not a great seafaring people. They were scared of the ocean. And so the idea of going out to sea to escape from God is a crazy idea for any self-respecting Jew like Jonah. And instead, he doesn't just get on a little ship to go over to Crete. He goes all the way, or tries to go all the way to Tarshish. Now, you're probably not up on your ancient geography, but Tarshish is in today's Spain. In fact, it's out to the west of Gibraltar. That's the region we're talking about. So it's outside the Mediterranean world. It is out beyond the known world for people in Jonah's day. And it was set up by the Phoenicians. So Jonah really is going to the ends of the earth to try to get away from God. It's also likely that this story was written in the period after the Israelite people came back from their captivity in Babylon. So they've seen their own city, Jerusalem, get ravaged. And of course, they take this as a sign from God that it was God's wrath that did that. So listen for the ways that God treats Nineveh, the city that Jonah is sent to. You have to realize that Nineveh was thought of as being a really sinful city, sort of like right up there with Sodom and Gomorrah. So these are not the good guys in the story. Also, it's important to emphasize, laughter is okay. What you're going to be hearing is a satire. It's meant to be laughed at. And like a political sketch on Saturday Night Live, it also has an underlying polemical message. So keep your ears pricked up for that as well. So I invite you to enjoy this telling of the book of Jonah.
Now, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, saying,
"Go at once to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me."
But Jonah set out to flee to Tarshish. Okay. He went down to Joppa. He found a ship going to Tarshish. And so he paid his fare, and he went on board to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord.
But the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea,
and such a mighty storm upon the sea, that the ship threatened to break up. Then the mariners were afraid, and each cried to his God. They threw the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them.
Jonah, meanwhile, had gone into the hold of the ship, and had laid down and was fast asleep.
The captain came and said to Jonah,
"What are you doing sound asleep? Get up, call on your God. Perhaps the God will spare us a thought so that we do not perish."
The sailors said to one another,
"Come, let us cast lots,
so that we may know on whose account this calamity has come upon us."
So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah.
Then they said to him, "Tell us why this calamity has come upon us.
What is your occupation?
Where do you come from? What is your country?
And of what people are you?"
I am a Hebrew. I worship the Lord, Yahweh, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land.
Then the men were even more afraid and said to him, "What is this that you have done?"
For the men knew he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord because he had told them so. Then they said to him,
"What shall we do to you that the sea may quiet down for us?"
For the sea was growing more and more tempestuous.
He said to them, "Pick me up, throw me into the sea. Then the sea will quiet down for you, for I know it is because of me that this great storm has come upon you."
Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring the ship back to land, but they could not, for the sea grew more and more stormy against them.
And then they cried out to the Lord,
"Please, O Lord, we pray, do not let us perish on account of this man's life.
Do not make us guilty of innocent blood.
For you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you."
So they picked Jonah up and threw him into the sea.
And the sea ceased from its raging.
Then the sailors feared the Lord even more, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows.
But the Lord provided a large fish to swallow up Jonah.
And Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights.
So Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the belly of the fish, saying,
"I called to the Lord out of my distress. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried. You cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All your waves and billows passed over me. I am driven away from your sight. How shall I look again upon your holy temple? The waters closed over me. The deep surrounded me. Weeds closed in over me. They wrapped around my head at the roots of the mountains. And yet, you brought my life from the pit, O Lord my God. You heard my voice, and you answered me. I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you, O God. Deliverance belongs to the Lord."
Then the Lord spoke to the fish,
and it spewed Jonah out upon dry land.
Now, the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, saying,
"Get up, go to Nineveh, that great city, and proclaim to it the message I tell you."
So Jonah set out and went to Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord.
Now Nineveh was an exceedingly large city, a 3 days' walk across.
Jonah went into the city, going a day's walk at a time.
And he cried out,
40 days more, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. 40 days more, Nineveh shall be overthrown. 40 days more, people. Nineveh should be overthrown. Come on, get with it."
And the people of Nineveh believed God. They proclaimed a fast, and everyone, great and small, put on a sackcloth.
When the news reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, removed his robe, covered himself in sackcloth, and sat in ashes.
Then he had a proclamation made in Nineveh.
By the decree of the king and his nobles,
no human being or animal, no herd or flock shall taste anything. They shall not feed, nor shall they drink water.
Human beings and animals shall be covered with sackcloth, and they shall cry mightily to God.
All shall turn from their evil ways and from the violence that is in their hands.
Who knows?
God may relent and change God's mind. God may turn from God's fierce anger
so that we do not perish.
When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil ways, God changed God's mind about the calamity that God said would come upon them to punish them. And God did not destroy Nineveh.
Woohoo! Ooh. Cheering! Applause!
Woohoo! But this was very displeasing to Jonah, and he became angry.
He prayed to the Lord and said,
"Oh Lord, is this not what I said while I was in my own country? That is why I fled to Tarshish at the beginning, for I knew you were a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love, and ready to relent from punishing. And now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live."
And the Lord said, "Is it right for you to be angry?"
But then Jonah went out of the city, and he sat down east of the city, and he made a little booth for himself there, and he sat under it in the shade, waiting to see what would become of the city.
The Lord God appointed a bush and made it come up over Jonah to give shade over his head to save him from discomfort.
So Jonah was very happy about the bush.
But when dawn came up the next day,
God appointed a worm
that attacked the bush
so that it withered.
When the sun rose,
God prepared a sultry east wind, and the sun beat down on the head of Jonah.
So that he was faint, and he asked that he might die. He said, "It is better for me to die than to live."
But God said to Jonah, "Is it right for you to be angry about the bush?"
"Yes, angry enough to die."
Then the Lord said,
"You are concerned about the bush, for which you did not labor and which you did not grow. It came into being in a night and perished in a night. And should I not be concerned about Nineveh, that great city in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know their right hand from their left, and also so many animals?"
For the word of God in Scripture.
For the word of God among us.
For the word of God within us.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks to Bill and Maggie and Jane Ann for that really stunning performance of Jonah.
Stunning something.
So, since there are not a ton of us here this morning, I'm going to come out and ask you all some questions. I thought about just having you ponder these on your own, but since we're a relatively small gathering today, we can do this as a group, and I'll come up and talk with the choir as well. So, what are some of the surprises or the twists that you heard in this story about Jonah? I know it's intimidating, but you can just pop your hand up and weigh in. Diane.
How self-righteous Jonah.
How self-righteous Jonah became. Yeah, what was up with that? You know, first he's like fleeing to Tarshish, and then the next thing you know, it's like, oh, those people over there. Yeah. Yeah. What else? Any choral observations besides pointing fingers? Wayne.
Well, the Ninevehites changed their mind instead of hardening their hearts, which is so often.
Right? Yeah, the Ninevehites actually followed through. They actually listened to Jonah and changed their minds and corrected their path rather than hardening their hearts, which is what you usually read, you know, in the Hebrew Bible. Maybe. Andy, do you have something?
Well, and then after they changed their minds and Jonah had done his job, he was all mad because it worked.
Exactly. What's up with that?
Told you this.
Jonah's all upset because he did his job and it actually worked out. You know, imagine how he'd feel if it hadn't worked out. Would he have felt, oh, good, God's going to rain down fire on Nineveh? Yeah, yeah. Where do you hear the three components of Plymouth's mission statement, inviting, transforming, and sending, played out in this story?
Where's the whale?
Where's the whale?
Yeah.
In terms of...
Yeah.
We have a great fish.
Or there is the technical issue that whales are not fish.
This is true. This is true. This is true. So, like Pinocchio, that's a whale. This is a great fish. So, who got sent? And by whom? Al.
Well, I was going to say the whale was pretty transforming.
So the whale was pretty transforming. Yeah, the whale actually becomes a vessel for God's desire to have Jonah go out to Nineveh. Yeah. Jeff?
I think that the mission was lived through in Jonah through God's will,
yeah,
not Jonah's. So it's,
yeah,
an interesting thing to think about is what, you know, the reluctant Christian to live into that will.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
Forced to almost by.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So that interplay between Jonah's will and God's will, and, you know, God's will, Jonah, go out to Nineveh. And Jonah's like, I don't think so. Yeah, the reluctant missionary. It's interesting, too. You don't hear a lot of missionary stories in the Hebrew Bible about the Jewish people reaching out and trying to convert others. But he is clearly bringing the word of Yahweh to these Ninevites. How would you characterize God's action and God's behavior in this story? What's it like? What are the characteristics of the God whom we meet in the Jonah story?
He changes his mind.
He changes his mind. Yeah, yeah. Would you go so far as to say he's a capricious God? No?
Yes?
Yes. Yeah, yeah. It's interesting. I mean, do you all have the experience of God changing God's mind? And maybe not. Maybe so. Barb?
It seems to me that God isn't changing his and her mind. It's that the people's understanding of God changes.
Yeah, the people's understanding of God changes. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Bush.
Yeah.
Only lasted for one day, and perhaps that's a reminder for us not to take our comfort for granted.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah. The bush that only survives for one day reminds us not to take our comfort for granted. Yeah, thanks. Yeah. And watch out for worms, you know. You know, a little Roundup goes a long way, but it's like... who were the truly righteous people in this story? And when I say righteous, I don't mean self-righteous. I mean truly righteous. And were they the people that you expected to be righteous? The king. Yeah, the king humbles himself, you know, adorns himself with sackcloth, sits in the ashes. Yeah, probably not what you expected from a Ninevite king. Yeah. Who else? How about the worm? Wayne.
Well, the sailors have a few moments of moral inventory before they toss Jonah over the side.
Exactly. They do. They do. There was that quizzical look among the sailors before they tossed Jonah in. Yeah, but they actually have sort of a little bit of a conversion experience. That's that transformation that's the middle part of our mission statement at Plymouth. Yeah, absolutely. And then they do eventually don't chuck him in and... Away he goes. Who might you consider to be the outsiders? And what does this story say to us about outsiders or people who we consider to be other, who might not be worth saving? And does it say anything to us about immigration reform? Thoughts? questions, suspicions. You guys are so quiet this morning. The first service people had had their coffee, I guess.
About what the Hebrews would have thought of the Ninevites after this. Think they
yeah.
would have invited them to Jerusalem?
Yeah, Art's question was, what would the Hebrew people think about the Ninevites after all this happened? After God shows mercy to Nineveh, when God certainly didn't show mercy to Jerusalem. Would they have invited the Ninevites to Jerusalem? Don't know. Something good to ponder. Daryl.
Isn't this nearly identical to the parable of the prodigal son? Where the son is forgiven by God and the older son becomes self-righteous?
That's a great theme to identify. Daryl said it's a lot like the parable of the prodigal son. You know, the prodigal son goes off and does all these horrible things and spends all kinds of money that he shouldn't be spending and comes home to a feast. And there's the older son who has, like, been by his father's side and been a faithful son and... For heaven's sake, you know, it's like you're throwing a party for this guy? Yeah. So very much the same sort of reaction that we get. Yeah. So a question to close us. How do we respond to this story of Jonah today? Who are our Ninevites? The people that God created and who God loves, but who we consider to be, well, maybe slightly less worthy of being saved from a horrible fate. Well, if you're not ready to cop to that one out loud, that's okay. But it's something to think about during the week. So again, thanks to the three of you for that wonderful reading. Amen.